Hello and welcome to Leafs Talk After Dark. Leafs Talk After Dark. No JD Bunkus tonight. He is tucked into his little bed with his little nightcap on. He's got an early morning tomorrow. So Ailish and I, Ailish Forfar of Fan Pregame fame, decided to join me. I asked her like, 2 weeks ago, and she was very hesitant to say yes, but she said, I guess if I have to. And only if she could have seen the future, the hard no that I would have received to do this game. Right. How are you doing right now? 1:03 Eastern AM. We just watched one of the games of all time. How are you feeling right now, Ailish? Happy to be here.
This one's for the real sickos, eh? The 105 live chat is it's only the best. So
is there anyone out
show
there
for everyone?
Is there anyone out there?
Anyone?
Christian, anyone? Can you put in the chats a sign of life that we're not just talking to ourselves? I really, really appreciate you joining me. Lots of people to the show. That seems very Trumpian. Like, I haven't seen them. Lots of people.
Tremendous people are here.
The biggest show.
The biggest and best.
Everyone is saying it. Okay, so here's where I'll start tonight.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's two different ways. I wrote down in my notes, there's two sides to every story, Ailish. So would you like to start with the positive spin or the negative spin?
You know what? I'm well known to be the positive half of our show, positive Polly. So let's start positive.
At least on an
it's over.
No, they're on an absolutely grueling stretch of hockey.
I saw a lot of those tweets. Yep,
they are playing an insane amount of road games, and they are playing tough. They're not playing the toughest teams, but they've been on the road. They went home for one little trip. Matthews had to see his little doggy and get all sad, and then he had to go back out on the road. They've been living out of a suitcase, all this, all that. I know they're incredibly well compensated to do that, and it's not like they're cracking rocks or playing the kids' games for millions of dollars. I understand it. But at the end of the day, there is a human element here, and they look pretty lethargic at times throughout this trip. It's not like the schedule's going to lighten, but there is part of me on the positive spin that is giving them a bit of a break when it comes to the schedule. So there's excuse talk one. Okay.
Yeah, I'll jump in on excuse talk. Yeah. They're in Vegas. They're distracted. Did they pack for this road trip? Did they pack for the rest of their season? Are they getting traded?
Yeah.
Who knows? How can you focus on a hockey game? We have all that, you know, like how can you, and there's dancers in the crowd. There's like a dragon there.
I've been to a game there. The guy just bashes on the shield so much. Like, it's just nonstop bashing on the shield.
How can you play there?
Yeah.
Scheduled loss.
All right. Negative time?
Okay, that's it. That's the only positive.
Well, there's other things I'd like to talk about, but this is more my big picture side.
Okay, hard pivot to negative talk.
That's what a contender looks like, Ailish.
Oh, yeah. Big, heavy defense.
That's what a Stanley Cup contending hockey team looks like, where every line has threatening guys. They play, all the different lines look like they have a little different style. That Kolesar, they trust him against anyone. Their fourth line plays a lot. Their decor is, like you said, all mutants, just massive men that just good breaking the puck out, killing cycles. They have a really good goalie tonight. I know the Leafs have had good goaltending all year, but to me, when you look at those two teams, there is a gap. Yeah. And I know the Leafs, like I said, tired, long road trip, whatever. The Leafs have had some success against Vegas in the past, and they've even had some success in this building. But I think if you're Treliving, I think if you're Craig Berube, there's many different ways that you can be like, hey, we got to get there, and we're not even close. Treliving can do it with trades or whatever he's going to do. Berube can use it as sort of like a bulletin board, blackboard material, whatever you want to do. But to me, there looked like there was a pretty big gap between that team and the Leafs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think let's start on the back end. Like that was the biggest difference for me. You know, like Toronto has a lot of talented offense, as we know. Like you get to Eichel, I'm sure. Eichel showed up tonight. But like when you watch a game for the Leafs without a Tanev and you see a lot of Myers, Timmins, Benoit, and then you look at the Golden Knights blue line and their like average height is 6'4", 220. Like
They're all huge.
So it's insane. The difference between that blue line and this blue line, that's contender blue line. This is pieces of a contender blue line. And it sounds like Tanev's coming back this weekend. Thank God, because they need him.
Thank God is the perfect way to put it.
Like, oh my God. I can't wait to see that guy's face. I can't wait to see Noah Kahn back in the lineup. But like, you just, you know, that the game, you know, ends up what, 5-2, maybe that first period's a little bit more in reach with better goaltending, which we'll get into, but a little bit more structurally defensive and like people just not flying and getting so many odd man rushes, breakaways. Like, it was a stark difference between blue lines. And I think you're right. Like, that's contender stuff on the other end of the ice. And we had a lot of Myers, Timmins, Benoit time. So that should change a little bit with Tana back into it. But I think you're like, hey, can we just get one more guy? Can we get someone to play with Morgan Rielly? Take a shot every time you've heard that at 1 a.m.
I mean, it's at Leafs Talk after dark. I got a little
water. We should have had drinks. What are we doing? Nobody's even, our bosses aren't watching this. but no, I think the back ends just were so, it was staggering.
even with Tanev, like, it feels like they're desperate for some help because it's still – like, you go into the playoffs and you need depth because, like, you see when Tanev goes out here, it's automatically like, God, it's a lot of Myers. God, it's a lot of Timmins. God, it's a lot of Benoit. And that's with one guy going out. Like, what happens? God forbid, like, you know, Oliver Ekman-Larsson's had issues staying healthy sometimes. Like, you look at McCabe, who's been out twice this year with head stuff. So it is, to me, imperative by Friday at 4 or 3, 3, 4. I should probably know this.
It should be by 3, not by 4, I hope.
Yeah, it should be by already today. Feels like we're getting a little bit too close here for comfort as it is. But I got to tell you, they need help back there. And that was, like you said, the biggest difference for me between the two teams. So, yeah, those are my two different stories from the game tonight, like in terms of positive and negative. But I got to tell you, Elish, I am leaning a little bit towards the negative. And I don't want to do that because everybody calls me Mr. Negative, but...
Okay, I mean, they just got.
I am a little worried.
I think we can be a little negative, and we can also disclaimer it. We know they're tired. We know they've been traveling a lot. So, like, we'll get into it. Like, let's talk about Joseph Woll. I mean, that's his first pull of his career, which is amazing. Yeah. First pull of the season, but this has been a bad stretch for him. And I've been a fan of the tandem. I think they push each other really well. They both haven't been starters, so I'm of the mentality like, hey, they're kind of battling it out for the net. It doesn't feel like that battle's close anymore. Like Stolarz, he came in, Woll just had a pretty tough first period, and then the guys are playing behind. It's like you're kind of already tapping out. The broadcast is like, well, you can just stop playing the first line as much, like help them kind of load manage a bit. And you're just like, man, what's that mentality like if you're like, yeah, game's out of reach as the fourth period starts, 4-0 snipe by that hand kid, and you're just like, everyone's like, I'm going to close my laptop. I'm going to go to bed.
The amount of TVs that got shut off across this beloved country. This might be your least watched
live Leafs Talk after the second period. I was like, who is staying up for this? But like Woll himself, like I think we should start there because I know you've talked about it on your show and we have as well, but I'm not saying this guy's washed. He just looks like he's lethargic in a sense. And there's a couple tough ones tonight. I think it was the Howden one that like went through his armpit. Eichel's was a beautiful snipe. And then that's when they
hit that ball.
Oh yeah, it was really nice, but it wasn't a great showing. And I think it was 8 goals on like 41 shots since that Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
Not a good stretch of hockey for him. Not really what you want to see. But as soon as Stolarz goes in, I think the first shot he faced was that breakaway. And he's like, welcome to the game. I feel really confident with Stolarz, but Woll's really got to pick it up here because they have a lot of games, as you mentioned. And I wonder how this changes the way that this weekend was going to go, right? You're going to put Stolarz in on Saturday after he played basically two periods here. Actually. Be interesting how they play it out.
It's long enough away here that I think
it's good they have a couple days.
But it is a consideration. I hate, like, I'm sure, you know, having to pull the goalie, and the only really bad one is the Howden sneak under the arm, which that really felt like it changed the game.
Through the arm.
And, like, I saw, you know, like, Woll, the one that Eichel hits, it's just like,
that's a gorgeous shot.
One of the best players in the league hitting a one-timer in the sweet spot, top corner. It hits the back of the net before. I really have a hard time. maybe you want to save on it. Like, I have a hard time killing him for that one. The first one, he's a little bit scrambly. He doesn't get a ton of help. I thought it was a good pull. But the thing that would really piss me off if I'm Craig Berube after pulling the goalie is, like you said, the whole move when you pull the goalie, not all the time.
Play better defensively. Hello.
It's just to, like, wake the team up, right? Yeah. That's like a big reason that you pull the goalie, is to kind of get everybody woken up and be like, okay, we got to reset here. And then immediately having your guy that's kind of carried you all year, just hang him out to dry. And you see Berube on the bench, just MFing them. Like, you're soft, hanging him out to dry. Like, you can just see it. Not a lot of look backs from the boys on the bench there. A lot of heads hung. Like, they're like, oh my God, please don't make me go back into this locker room with this guy. But to get to your wall point, I do worry a little bit about this dip, but I will say that I do trust that he's going to be able to kind of pull out of this. Mm-hmm. I think he's shown enough of a pedigree over his career. I think the only issues you've really had with him is his ability to stay healthy. And he has played the most games he's ever played. Maybe a little bit of fatigue, maybe a little bit of a, you know, not dog days, but a bit of a wall I guess that's, you know,
not the brick wall that we after want,
it's Saturday Night Live, 1 a.m. here, I'm making a big joke, but hey, but I think there is a potential with a lot of guys on this team, and especially, you know, the goaltender, that they're playing a lot of hockey, and maybe it's just a little bit of a mental block, and it's just not as locked in. But I do trust that he's going to be able to pull out of it. But at the same time, you got to win this division, because you saw what Tampa did today. They paid a lot, but they improved. You see what Florida did. You need good goaltending to stay on top of the division, and it's going to be really tempting for Berube to overplay Stolarz here to try to win that division. So, tough stretch for Wall. I trust he'll come out of it, but I think you got to go Stolarz going forward here. Definitely Saturday night, and then I think it's Monday in Utah. So, I don't know if you go two in a row for Stolarz or whatever, but it's going to be – They play Florida at home next Wednesday. Thursday. So that for me, is it Thursday? Sorry, there was Wednesday. Whatever it is, they play, I think Stolarz gets that start. That's like a big premier start, and I think he gets that one. So that would be my thoughts on the goalies.
I'm in agreement. I think you give Stolarz Saturday night, you've got enough rest days, the Avs, like, it's a good, great Hockey Night in Canada game. Yeah. And then Monday, Utah, it's another late start, 10 p.m. I'm not available for Leafs talk. Don't even try me.
I didn't ask you.
Pass it on, boys.
It's going to be Anthony Petrelli that night. Little bunky nightcap. He's going to be tucked. He's reading his little book tonight. So,
but on the other side, how good did Aiden Hill look, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
He did look good. You know, he gave me a couple questions. I'm like, you know, sure he couldn't have got a game for Canada? Looked pretty good in there. But, you know, our beloved Jordan Binnington, you know, saved Canada with a couple big saves. So I can't say a lot.
Jordan Binnington. No, he's,
but yeah, I mean, that team looks like a cup contender, like a really serious cup contender. Like, I don't know if you caught any of the Edmonton Oilers game last night, but it's like, that's a team that you're competing with in that division as presently constituted. I'll tell you who's a whole better side. And it's this team the Leafs played tonight. They are a complete team. You look at the differences between that team in Edmonton who they're battling with. So we're not Oiler talk. So I got a couple other things for you as we go through the points here. Matthew's reaction.
I knew you were going to go here.
So
as soon as I said was in my mind, I'm like, Sam's going to bring up Matthew's fist pump because that's just our brains are in lock here. Yeah.
I don't know if I
react the same way as you.
I'm just so surprised to see this. This guy frowns when he scores goals all the time. Like, he barely cares when he scores hot goals. Like, he only saves big sellies for big goals, that one, like, where he drops down to the knees.
I think he was he's frustrated. He's not.
Yes.
You guys have talked about this on Leafs Talking on your show. Like, he's fighting something. That one just was like a personal, like, yeah, like, I needed that. Like, it was like a.
And I'm telling you,
personal fist pump. Yeah,
that's he's telling. It's a little thing, and you know, it's not like it's a 5-1 goal in the second period of a game in March, but you never see any sense of frustration out of Austin Matthews. Yeah, like ever. Like, when does he ever? Like, the only times he's really done it is when he got that goal call back, and then he pointed to the goal, like he was like, best. "Yes, I was at that game actually. It's very cool." And like, you know, he's. never really got into it with the refs. They're talking about it on the broadcast that he mm-hmm. really doesn't really say much. He never really shows frustration. And to the point where it's a bit frustrating for Leaf fans, where it's like, could you just be pissed off once in a while? Mm-hmm. And to see him kind of slam the gate, to see him kind of do a little fist pump, like, this guy's feeling it. And mm-hmm. I don't know if he's not feeling 100%, if there's just a frustration of the puck not going in the net. But that, to me, was pretty telling about where the headspace of Auston Matthews is right now.
Yeah, I think he just has higher expectations for himself. He's not scoring at the same pace that we've seen previously. He's like, that was 11-point streak. Like, we know that. Like, 11 points in a row. It's not all goals. But I think it's showing, like, he wants more out of himself. And I think he's been fighting it. He said in the pregame stuff, too. I know they're covering it. He's like, yeah, I'm going to stop hitting the post so much. Like, you know, when you've hit the post in X amount of games in a row, that every time you hit it, you just get more and more pissed off. So I think it was
when they're showing you hit the post in practice, you know, you're fighting.
Come on. Like that's crazy. That's how, when you know Toronto media, like, we're like filming his practice shots and someone was cutting. Yeah. Oh, yeah, get that. Get the post.
He's really fighting it. He's really fighting it.
Yeah. No, he's fighting it. But yeah, I liked it. I also really liked when you brought up Craig Berube ripping those guys on the bench. Yeah. Like, we don't know really what goes on behind the scenes with Berube. I think we maybe anticipated a lot more rah-rah because, like, mm-hmm. we've seen, like, one video of him doing that, and he, like, likes to punch guys in the face when he played. He doesn't usually use that bullet very often, but he needed
to. He hasn't used one tonight.
Yeah, I'm watching him on the bench, I was like, okay, he's pissed off, which he should be. That was a pretty brutal start, and then you're just playing from behind, and the team's, like, already looking ahead to Saturday.
No, you're right, though. Like, he's definitely done it on the bench, Ailish, but he hasn't done it once in the meeting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if he does it. Like,
don't think he will. No, like, if he didn't do it after the San Jose game where you blew a 2-0 lead to the worst team in the National Hockey League.
That was also a scheduled loss, Sam. Loss.
Not when you're up 2-0 going into the third. That's not a scheduled loss.
That's your first ever blown third period lead, though.
So here's Craig Berube. I think our intentions were right. We're right in the first period. I mean, you know, we had chances. We were skating, I thought, but you can't give a team like that 5-on-man rushes in the first period.
True.
You can't do that and think you're going to win the game. So that's like the most he's done, right? Where he's like a little bit critical of the game, but he doesn't call anybody out. Mm-hmm. I will say, we're talking Craig Berube. There is one thing that has plagued Sheldon Keefe and now Craig Berube too. Why is the only jumble up the winger flip? Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the only dice move anyone mm-hmm. does. And it's like, you know, you could put somebody on the third line. Like, you know, you could maybe separate.
You might hurt
them.
Somebody's feelings though.
Good.
Just like celebrating all three of the Four Nations guys with their own video tribute. Yes, you couldn't do that either.
Listen, don't get me started on that.
But I know, I'm just firing up at 1:30.
I don't understand why it can't just be like, Willie's playing on the third line now. Marner's playing on the second line now. Matthew's like, it always, the only dice move is always flipping the wingers. And I guess it's just like you said, you want to keep them happy, whatever. But just send a little.
I don't agree. But I don't agree with
name. No, I know.
Like, I totally. I think, you know, that was tonight was the perfect opportunity. You were down 4-0 to start the second period. You come out, you give up a goal right away in the second. Like, you know, 3-0 lead. There's still like 40 minutes to play, so it's not out of reach. But to come on for the second period and immediately Hanifin scores, it's like, hey, that's not acceptable. Like, that's where you should be really. Let's engaged. Mix this up. You've got more than half a game ahead. Can you find some new chemistry? Can you push someone down the lineup? Like, what happened with Marner at Four Nations? Pushed down the lineup. He was getting, like, he had to earn his spot back, and look what happens. He played really well. I'm not saying he has to be the guy you put on the third line, but these guys are grown-ups. They should be able to handle it. You can demote somebody for a period on the road when you're already down 4-0 and shouldn't have to come and apologize for it. So I'm in agreement. Like, maybe you got to be a little more heavy-handed with what your lineup changes are if you're trying to spark something, because, like, they're just tapped out at that point. We're going to lose this game.
So we're watching this clip, if you're watching on YouTube, the sicko that you are if you're watching us right now.
Yeah.
But it's the goal. It's the goal at the start of the. It's the goal at the start of the first second period that Hanifin scores, and it just highlights to me, hey, you know, you know, the dice trick or they're trying to make this happen. He's doing it too much. Riley, Oliver Ekman, Larson just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's, we've seen it. I mean, what were they, a -2, -3 again tonight? Well, they might've been on the ice for one of the two goals at the end. So maybe they didn't. No, they weren't. They were not. They ended up -2 again tonight. Riley, I think now -19 on the season. These two guys don't work together. It's very clear. I know it's so stupid, but we saw Luke Shen get traded tonight.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for him to get traded again.
For sure he's going to get traded again. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's the only thing that's worked.
Yeah.
So just do it again.
But now Dubas has him, and so I'm curious, like, not to make this trade talk, I'm sure everyone's going to cover it on their show tomorrow, but now Dubas has
he's
got the chips and you got to go to Dubas and say, can we have Luke Shen please? So you should trade him one of his like favorite guys that he never got to take with him. Like, who's that Marley's defenseman?
What about Topi or Roni? Topi Niemelä.
That's exactly who I was thinking about. Yeah. He'd be obsessed to bring Topi back and really show everyone that he's, you know, he picked the right guy. So
what's Matt Hallowell up to these days?
Yeah. One for one, Topi for Luke.
I've done so much Morgan Riley stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't have any answers, but I can damn well tell you the answer is not Oliver Ekman Larson and him together. It has not worked all year. So stop it. Next thing, two more things I have quickly.
Yeah.
Nice. Nail gun off the drop of the,
we should have put that at the beginning with our positive talk.
You pushed it down. Nail gun off the first face-off. I thought I was watching the Four Nations face-off again.
That's right.
Takes it into his own hands. Zach Whitecloud with the greasy hit on him earlier in the year. And I got to tell you, Mr. Whitecloud found out the hard way that Nyes is a lefty. He caught him 3-4 clean ones. You know, Whitecloud ends up on top at the end. That is no solace for the on-the-button lefts that Matthew Nyes landed on him. Wow.
Yeah, it was such a good way. Like, we were all pissed off because, you know, the game says 10 p.m. start. It's 10:25. They haven't dropped the puck yet. And we're chatting. I'm like, just get this game going. And then they start with that. I'm like, all right, it was worth the wait. Like,
I'm ready to go.
We're ready. You can fight again. How can you not love Nyes? Like, the way he plays.
Oh, my.
It should be like what every kid, not just because of fighting, okay, but what every kid should aspire to be. Tough, skilled, like fearless. Good teammate, got like speed, size, and fights for his own battles. Like he knew this was happening all day, sitting there waiting to fight Whitecloud, takes care of his own business. Like Nyes is the best. Like he is like everyone that kind of thinks about, oh, maybe what's the trade package? No trade, never, untouchable.
He's not even for not even for Rantanen with.
I saw that as well. I'm like, you know, no, I'm a big Nyes guy. And how can you not be after you see that?
No, I loved it. And, you know, I don't think he needs to be a fighter by any stretch.
No, but when you know you can pull that out of his, like, pocket people once that are gonna in a see while.
This, there's going to be people that see this around the league and like, oh, I don't want to have those laughs land on me. I saw what that guy did to me. Like, I don't want that. That looked not fun. That looked very bad, in fact. So, good for Nyes. He's been fantastic for the Leafs all year. And, you know, Morgan Riley says, I thought it was great. He's a great player, an important piece to what we're doing. A young guy making a statement like that, I thought it was powerful. Yeah, it seemed really powerful when you guys got starched 3-0 in the first period. It really woke you guys up.
You know, they were just in awe.
Yeah, they're just like, wow, he's such a
Wow, let's let them score three goals on us in the first period.
And you know what's even funnier is that we joked that it's that Nyes is Kipper's son.
And, Kipper's going to be fired
and
up.
Kipper's, well, because they look exactly the same.
I know. I've seen your photo.
And Nyes is, Kipper was also a lefty too. So,
there's more evidence. Something to this. Find out more tomorrow on Kipper and Bourne.
And the last thing I'll say, I sent a tweet about this, and I love to do crowd talk. I'm sick. No. Not even that guy. Not even the guy that was falling asleep. Because
the
God
guy falling
love him,
asleep was
I'd be
tough.
Falling asleep too. Like, listen, he's probably had 6 to 7 high noons. He's there with his partner with the blue hair. The game sucks. It's Vegas. You're like, I'm tired. I would sleep too. I get it. That's not even bad. Whatever. I've fallen asleep in way worse places than that.
That's true.
But just think of all the people, all our beloved Leaf fans.
On the bachelor parties.
Bachelor parties, bachelorettes. boys trips, girls trips, like all the stuff. Like you had this circle.
College reunions, yes. Divorce trips. Yes. Like every yes. trip is there.
You had this circled for months. You were so excited. And you just didn't even really get a moment. Like the Nyes thing, great. You got to cheer that.
If
that
you
was
were in
awesome
your seat, you hope for they sure were.
And then it just nothing else could happen. Although Mitch Marner in the third period almost scored the goal of the season, where he fell to his knee after going through somebody's legs and going upstairs. But that just sucks because I've been to that building. I went to a game, like I said, 2 years ago, I think, with Ali, or maybe they played the Penguins. And it was so many Penguins fans. And it was a lot of, but the Knights fans are great. It's an electric atmosphere. I can only imagine how fun it would be if you're a Leaf fan, and that just sucks. So if you're listening to this in Vegas, which you wouldn't be right now, but when you wake up for in the morning,
they're playing it in the casino over the speakers.
Yeah, they're playing it in the wind. Borny told me today, we were talking about Vegas, like when he played in the ECHL, he played against the Las Vegas Wranglers, which were like the ECHL team there. And he said that they had 3 midnight games a year. So their games would start at midnight and they played it like a casino. He said it was like in a casino.
That's said, actually insane.
They need to do a 30 for 30. Can you imagine?
How is that even allowed?
I don't know. I don't know.
I would have loved to see the camera shots on that night. Like the poor guy that they got tonight on the camera who was snoozing. It would be like you'd have to pay for the side by side stream of, you don't even watch the game, you just want to watch the crowd.
Yeah, that'd be some supreme people watching. I can.
You know what?
Imagine.
That's probably where OnlyFans came from. OnlyFans.
Oh,
you're only watching the fans.
That's pretty good. I will
we
say.
We should probably end on that note.
I will say that Mitch Marner said that this loss is a wake up call, all the Leafs captains spoke how they need to be better. I've only heard that for 8 years. And on that note, Ailish,
night night.
Ailish, follow her on X and Instagram. Say your things. I'm doing the thing that Bunk. Say your things out loud. Spell it.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, yes, at Sam A. McKee. Like, subscribe. He goes, like and subscribe. It really does a lot. You know, it helps us out. Yeah. Send us feedback and comment. Yeah. I love getting your messages and comments. Not me.
Yes.
I'm at Ailish Forfar. Pretty simple. There's no other Ailishes or Forfars, so you'll be able to find me.
Fantastic job tonight.
Thanks,
and I will see you tomorrow. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Yeah. Night, night, everybody.